Everybody, welcome back to Lessons Learned, the podcast where we aim to turn our experiences into your wisdom. I'm Randy, here today with Chris, Jared, Joe, and Talon. And today we're going to be talking about kind of knowing who your friends are and, you know, who are people that you don't really need in your life. So, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So, enjoying this nice fall weather finally here in Omaha. Kind of hit a hot spell there for a week or two, but now it's nice.
Sweater weather.
I'm a weatherman now on the podcast. But yeah, no, so I just, you know, had a pretty easy week, edited in some photos, released another episode too. So, you know, been busy. So, yeah, as Randy said, we're going to go ahead and talk about, you know, just kind of knowing who your real friends are in life. And, you know, like maybe some people are using you for certain things you have or don't have, or, you know, maybe when you move away, who keeps in touch? So I know with us, we all have a lot of experience with moving away. As we talked about last episode, being in the military, you know, we always come and go and meet new people, and people coming in and out of our lives all the time. So we have quite a bit of experience in this aspect. So Jared, why don't you take us off?
Yeah, so I feel like people that are listening that are in the military are going to relate to what I'm about to talk about a lot, which is the first time coming home after I joined the military. So I left for the military out of high school, like a month out, and you know, I did basic training and then finished all my training, got to my first duty station and whatnot, and it was my first time coming home. And this was about 5 or 6 months after I left initially, and I was so excited to see everyone, and I got my plane tickets, and I was just super stoked to get back home, see family and friends, and just have a good time, you know. And once I got home, I asked my friends if they wanted to hang out, and only one person actually responded and actually made the effort to come out and see me, and that was Matt. Shout out to Matt, my best friend.
Thanks, Dick.
LOL.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that happen in your lives. Like, you get busy with work and moving away, and you just kind of lose touch with people, but your good friends, you'll always find your way back to them. And with some of my other friends who I had in high school and when I left for the military, we didn't really keep in touch, which makes sense. Everyone's busy and that's understandable. But then once I finally got back home, they didn't make any effort to see me. And I didn't have a car or anything, so I couldn't, you know, drive around. And then when you're visiting home in the military, you only have so much time to spend and so many people to spend it with.
It's almost like a chore, isn't it?
Yeah, it can become a chore, for sure.
Really stressful, especially like around holidays. Ooh.
Yeah, and, you know, there were some people that understood that, and they came to my parents' house and whatnot to see me. Because they understood, you know, I'm running around trying to see everyone, but also trying to enjoy my time home. And it's, you know, the people who I thought were my friends didn't make any effort to see me. And, you know, it sucks.
I mean,
are you sure you're not just a loser?
Oh. Roasted.
Damn, Jet.
You're making me think right now.
Cyberbullying.
Dang, Randy. I'm questioning my whole life right now.
Yeah.
You need to take a day off.
Yeah, Randy. Take a day off, would you?
Can't turn it off.
That was the first time I actually like really evaluated my friendships.
Yeah, because that's like the first time, you know, you're on your own. You're in your adult life for the first time, you know, technically, maybe not your first time, but you know, you're doing you now. And it's like, hey, I'm back. This is who I am now. Like, does anyone like want to put the effort forth to come see me and hang out and like, you know, relive the glory days? You know, but like the same thing happened with me. I'm sure all of us who have gone back home, 90% of the people don't make the effort to drive 10 minutes to come see you.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You've traveled across the country, in some cases around the world, you know, back from deployment or whatever, and no one comes and sees you. Like, and it's ridiculous.
Like, the younger you are, the more tough it is because, you know, you think you have all these great friends, and then it isn't until something happens or you spend some time apart that you realize maybe they actually don't care about you. And that's a tough pill to swallow.
And that can be like really tough too. Yeah, if you're struggling, you know, like knowing who your good friends are mental health wise is a very big thing to have. Like, you know who has your back and who doesn't. And it's important to figure that out earlier rather than later, because, you know, those times that you do struggle, who are you going to reach out to and who's going to help you? Yeah. I know this year's been very tough for me mentally. And every single one of you guys on this podcast has been there for me. You're all true friends. Joe's kind of by default. I probably wouldn't hang out with him if he wasn't my brother. No, I'm just kidding.
likewise, don't worry.
Nah, it's cool though. You know, like, and kind of to combat what Jared was saying too, is like, there are those people who 100% go out your way, like your friend Matt. Like, you go home, yeah, man, no worry, I'll drive 4 hours to come see you. Yeah, you just flew across the country, I understand that, and like, I'll come see you. And those are the friends you need to stick with.
Oh yeah. And yeah. Oh, like,
hell yeah.
One, you know, it was I was going through some hard times a couple of years ago, and Matt actually drove 12 hours from Ohio to see me for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Literally, he was here for 12 hours, and then he drove 12 hours back and went straight into work.
And he would do it all over again, because that's the type of person he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he spent 24 hours driving.
Yeah, he spent 24 hours driving in a 36-hour period.
Jeez. Just to spend that 12 hours with you.
Now that's a friend right there.
Because that's what you needed, probably. Like, he just wanted to be there for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll turn what I said back around real quick. I said something shitty about Jared, so now I'll say something nice.
I appreciate it.
So when I was in Colorado, I know I mentioned this last episode, I was kind of having a hard time with some stuff. And I reached out to Jared, and, you know, he gave me some really good advice, and he was there for me when, you know, I know there's other people who wouldn't have been. And that's like, really says a lot about him as a person too, because we've really only known each other for a few months. So for him to do that, like he did for me, was, you know, really big. And like, you know, you can really tell he cares about people, and like, those are the kind of people you want in your life.
Yeah. And I think any of us would be there for everybody, like within this podcast. That doesn't make any sense. We'd all be there for each other. Us five would be there for each other, whoever was in need.
Cut. Well, Talon too. Even when I said I was coming out, Talon was like, you know, again, somebody who's known me a few months, he was like, hey, if you need a place to stay, man, my door's always open.
I forgot about that. For some reason, I didn't think about like you just staying at Chris's house, even though he's like, you guys are best friends. So yeah, I was just like,
yeah. Yeah, talk about being a good friend. I left my apartment to Randy. Like, I wasn't even home. I just left the keys for him.
Also true. Yep.
That's a bold
And I
strategy.
Came home to a bunch of phallus shapes all over my apartment in various different mediums.
Yeah. I mean, I also watched your apartment. I probably could have erased them, but I... No.
Nah. Because that's a true friend to Randy. Maybe not to me, but you're Randy's true friend.
Yeah. Well, he was your true friend. He fed your plants so they didn't die.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, so it's important. I have a lot of experiences. Like, for example, you know, I called my British friend Chris in England. Obviously, he's British. He's in England.
Nice.
But he listened to the podcast. You know, he listened to the first two episodes, which if you're on episode three and haven't listened to the first two, go ahead and give those a listen. But yeah, so we were talking about it, and we were just talking about life. And I met him going through training in the Air Force about 4 years ago now. And we still keep in touch. And he's 10 years older than me. He's 37. I'll be 27. So even though there's an age gap, he's a truly great friend because, I mean, he still reaches out. Like, we hadn't talked for 3 weeks, and he sent me a message. Hey, bud, how you doing? How you holding up? That is so important because you never know. Even if you're having a good day, that message means a ton. So imagine you're having a bad day, and you're just, like, in the dumps, man, like, depressed, and, like, you don't know what to do. You don't know where you are in life. And you just get a message from somebody randomly like that. Like, hey, man, how you doing? Like, that can change your whole demeanor.
You know that they're thinking about you, even if they just thought about you for a second. It's like, hey, send a message to this guy. It's like they in the middle of their random day, they just thought about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was great to hear, man. And then he called me up, and we just talked for an hour just about life. And it was phenomenal. And it's not just him. It's, you know, I've made so many friends that have got out and moved away and went back home and moved elsewhere in the country and the world. And we still keep in touch, you know, like, it might not be every day, but, you know, you send someone a message like once a week. It takes no energy just to check up on someone. And I think that's so important. Yeah. And like, COVID has definitely helped make that more of like a priority, you know, because mm-hmm. everyone's alone. Everyone knows everyone's alone. So a lot more people are reaching out these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that should be a little bit more normalized between friends, is just checking up on each other, because it's a rare occasion that someone would do that. But again, as you said, it means so much. Just from even sometimes the people that you haven't talked to in a long time, that means even more.
Yeah, and I can talk about that a little bit, because I fail as a friend in terms of that, honestly. I'm the type of person, I'll think about someone, but I cannot like go through the effort of like sending them a text sometimes. Because like, even though I know it's such little amount of effort, I don't know, it's just like, I feel like I'm inconveniencing them for some reason. I'm just like, oh, I don't like.
Yeah, you're inconveniencing by asking them how they've been.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, but, I don't understand the logic that I have or anything like that, but, and because of that,
hold
like.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, it almost seems like a contradictory point, but at the same time, it just proves what we're trying to prove here. If someone like that is your true friend, like, they know that you mean well, and they know that you're thinking about them, that you're there. Like, for instance, me and my friend Eddie, me and Eddie have been friends since like second grade. And like, there's times where we'll go, you know, 2-3 weeks or even a month, and like, we don't talk to each other. But then like, which actually just happened last week, I haven't talked to Eddie in like a couple weeks. And then he reached out to me because somebody who was supposed to watch his cats for the weekend while they were in Boston backed out on him. So he was like, you know, hey, do you mind running up and doing it? And I was like, yeah, no problem, of course. And then we hung out on Monday, but like, you know, that's just kind of how our friendship is, but I don't think that we're any less of friends because of that.
No, and that's important to understand, is just that just because you don't talk every day doesn't mean somebody's not there for you.
Yeah. I mean, I have other friends too that like I talk to every day, but you know, it's just like, it depends on like the friendship itself and like, you know, how, what your dynamic is.
Go ahead, Joe. You got a story?
I do have a story. So actually, one of those things that meant a lot to me was my friend Kevin up in New Jersey. So this kid has been my best friend since preschool, honestly. And you got to think, so this was back when we lived in New Jersey. I moved away from Jersey when I was 11 years old, and I've been living in Delaware since. And
couldn't be me.
Yeah, shut up. But, yeah, so like,
you dick.
We what was it? Take a break, Randy. Yeah, take a break.
take a day off. Speaking of Brit Chris, take a day off, would you?
Well, yeah. Anyway, so I've been in Delaware, and when I first moved down here, he would come down to visit, and I would go up to visit every so often, maybe like once or twice a year. And you know, we were still young kids, so our parents would drive us, and we would see each other. But that kind of started to fade away as we hit high school, and then you know, we got busy, jobs, everything like that. And we didn't really talk as much as we used to, but he's such a close friend to me. It's like an eternity can go by. And if I text him or if he texts me, it's as if like we've never been separated. He's just that close to me. Never been.
You guys just pick it up like you guys just saw each other yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like anytime I go up to Jersey for, you know, maybe a weekend or anything, I'll text him. I could text him on Thursday or Friday on the drive up. And, you know, it's one of those friends where his mom is like, oh, yeah, you're part of my family. And then the tear rolls down your face and you're like, oh, thank you so much. But yeah, I'll
big sap.
But no, I'll text them and they'd be like, yeah, stay here. You know, not a problem. You know, we'll make a bed for you. Not a problem at all. And it means a lot.
Yeah.
And actually, when my and Chris's grandfather passed away, I didn't text him at all, like saying anything, but we were doing the viewing and funeral up in Jersey. And I didn't text him anything, but he, I guess, heard about it on Facebook or something like that. And he still showed up. You know, we got to see each other, and it meant a lot to me. I got to see him again, and, you know, he paid his respects, and it just solidified how good of a friend he is.
Yeah. That actually, Joe, you kind of reminded me. I mean, you not necessarily reminded me, but you guys just met him a couple of weeks ago. My friend Debo, he was just here. So, like, quick story about just him and I, because he's my best friend. And
thanks, Dick.
Yeah, and like surprisingly we only started talking like senior year of high school, like at the very tail end of my senior year, like a couple months before I left for basic. So like we weren't even friends for very long, and like our friendship kind of grew at, like after I was already out of Colorado. But like he visits us every couple months, like every or, yeah, like at least 3 to 4 times a year. And that's more than anyone visits me, like even like my family and everything, because I mean, they're busy people. Like, I don't expect my mom to drop everything and like come visit me every month or anything like that. But like my friend Debo, he'll buy a plane ticket and he'll come out here, and he'll, even if it's just for like the weekend or anything like that, he'll take time and just come out here and spend time with me and Gabby. And it's just like, it means a lot. And I mean, every single time I'm in Colorado, he's that type of person. Like, he reaches out to me and just like, hey, like, when are you free? And it's just like, we'll always find a time to go see each other and everything like that. And just like Joe's friend, like, we might not talk every single day. Like, I haven't talked to him in probably like a week now, but like, I'll probably send him a message like tomorrow, and we'll just
will you actually?
Yeah, I will. I'll send him a Snapchat, and then it'll turn into a conversation. and then we'll talk for like a couple of hours or something like that. But yeah, it's just like, it's as if like we talk to each other every day.
And that's super important. I mean, some of your best friends, you know, especially as you get older, you can't see each other all the time, but it's all about making time to see each other. Like, it sounds like he puts in a lot of effort, and you do as well. And that's good. That's what real friendships need.
I mean, it's in reality, it is a relationship, not, maybe not sexual one. I don't know how you roll, Talon, but I mean, yeah, it is a relationship, and you got to take care of it and treat it with respect, you know, because I mean, if you have one person putting in all this work and the other person not reciprocating that work, clearly that's an unhealthy relationship, and maybe that's
reciprocating.
Not a true friend. Yeah, big word. I am smart, you know.
There's the big word of the day.
Yeah. So I got something to talk about too. Is, you know, kind of back on Jared's topic of going home and visiting people and them not coming. I think I've definitely realized who my true friends are more now than ever, like being away from home, because they're the ones who've come and visited me. I didn't have to go home to see them. They were like, hey, dude, I haven't seen you for a while. What's in Omaha? I was like, oh, we could go drink. They're like, cool, sold. So you know, I've had like 5 or 6 friends that I've grown up with just come and fly out and stay with me. Like, that's
definitely
so nice.
Not me.
I dread the day you come out here, man.
Flown and drove. Done them both.
I mean, as if throwing out the mail wasn't enough of a sign, this kid just drives and shows up on my doorstep.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
But yeah, no, it's important. And like, sometimes, I mean, I've had friends I've grown up with and haven't really talked to for a while. However, they're, you know, driving to Colorado. And I mean, sometimes, yeah, we're like a pit stop, you know, it's like 7 hours from Omaha to Denver. However,
sometimes I did that once.
I mean, yeah, but a lot of people have done that, and like, it doesn't bother me. It's like, yeah, you need a place to stay, but like, you had the thought of like hanging out with me and like hitting me up and seeing how I'm doing, and then like asking. So like, I have no problem with that, dude. Like, hell yeah, of course you could stay here for free. Like, whatever. So I think it's important to like ask yourself the question, who would come see me without me even asking? And that will tell you who your true friends are right then and there.
So now this is also can be a good time to self-reflect for us, is, you know, obviously nobody's perfect, and we could actually be the people that we're describing to others, to be honest with you. Maybe there's someone...
I don't know, like, guarantee it, we definitely are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I am.
So, I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's all an area, like as Talon said, that I could also improve on, is, you know, reaching out to other friends that, you know, I've known for a while. And kind of checking up on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, Joe, like, you just talk about like self-reflection. Like, there's some friends that I wish I could, I would just like reach out. And if I have the mental strength to do it, I probably will. But like, for example, I had this one friend I grew up with in elementary school, my best friend. The first time I went to Japan, just on vacation, like 3 years ago, I was just like on Facebook, and I noticed he got like a bunch of figures from Akihabara, which is just like this super otaku like nerdy area in Tokyo. And I was just like, yo, are you in Tokyo right now? And he's like, yeah. And I was just like, I'm in Shinjuku, you're in Akihabara. I'm just like, we're like a train station away from each other. Like, the next day, like, I haven't seen him in 5 years, and like the next day we're in Tokyo, like in like the middle of Shinjuku. We went to like go look at the cherry blossoms in a park.
That's so
and it's
cute.
Like, it's the first Yeah, it was like the first time I've seen him and even talked to him in 5 years. And I'm just like, and
see,
we spent the entire day together. And I was just like, wow, it was insane. Like, it was like we've always talked. Like, I don't know. It's just like as if we never grew apart or anything like that. Like, it was great. But I should probably just put more effort into relationships like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I talked about that in the social media episode too, is like it gives you the opportunity to see if anyone else is out there, you know? And like, guaranteed, even if you in our military career, you meet so many people, but like, even if you spend like a week of training with someone, I'm sure either you would hit them up or they would hit you up if each of you knew you were there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I went through training for maybe a month with this guy, and he was our refueler when I was deployed. I said, dude, are you out here? And he said, yeah, man. Hung out the whole rest of deployment.
That's like, awesome.
It was awesome, dude.
Yeah. There's one time that we had to stay. It was we were getting on a rotator, which is like a military contracted like plane, and I think we were in Vermont, and my friend, he was visiting family at the time. He was my roommate in tech school, and like I took a picture of like a bar we were at, and he's like, dude, that's like downtown. I'm like 30, and he was like 20 minutes away, and he hopped in an Uber, like went and saw me. Like, we were only there for 2 hours, and he like saw me, and like we just hung out like a bar. He like met my crew and everything like that, and like he would like, we were all, like, he was just part of our group for like the 2 hours that we were there.
It
was
great. Awesome.
Like, I only physically spent like a month with the guy as a roommate, and it's just like,
yeah,
we talk almost every single day.
That's awesome. That's
really cool.
Yeah, I had my friend, he's a loadmaster in Cali, and he hit me up like the day before.
Take a day.
But yeah, he's like, hey man, I'll be in Omaha like this day. You gonna be around? I was like, yeah, I'll make time, dude, for sure. And I forgot my freaking line badge, so I couldn't go on the flight line. But we had a conversation between a fence, dude. Like, just a chain link fence. And we just caught up, you know? We were just both leaning on the fence, just talking to each other. Like, he was only there for an hour, and he was taken back off. But, like, it's important. Friendships like that are they're priceless.
That's really cool. Yeah, especially as you get older. And, you know, you live in different places. Life gets busy. But it's the people that you can see after, you know, not seeing them for a couple months or a couple years, and just you can still have that connection. That's when you realize, you know, hey, actually, we're pretty good friends.
Yeah. And same guy hits me up every once in a while. He's like, hey, man, let's go do, like, he's really into outdoorsy stuff. And he's like, hey, man, let's go hike Mount Shasta. Like actually mountain climb. I was like, dude, I can't. I don't think I could, man. like oxygen tank and crampons. Like, we're climbing a mountain. I was like, dude, I don't think I could do that, bro.
That's sick.
Let's go do Mount Everest.
Yeah,
Icarus, pretty much. Talon, Randy, Joe.
That's probably my next.
Let's do it. Let's do Everest. Oh, I've heard it's not bad whatsoever.
Yeah, only a few people died. You know, whatever. Yeah.
I have a friend that did it a couple months ago.
More people died from COVID than Everest, right? So you were safe.
Fuck yeah.
I don't think there's many deaths from Everest. Like, you just,
yes, there
now
are.
Now you just follow a trail, and you just follow like your guides and stuff like that.
Until a storm rolls in.
Now it's gotten a lot more common, you know, over the years.
Deaths?
No, people traveling, I was thinking.
Yes, I mean, yes, deaths have gotten more common. That is true.
Oh, my God. What is happening? Where is this conversation gone?
Okay, so I'm going to change directions. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, people who basically put in the effort and make time to see you. But what about the friends who give you that kind of the critical advice that you don't want to hear, but it's good for you? Like, at the time, it just pisses you off.
Ooh, the hard truth.
The Chris. Hard truth.
Chris. The truth hurts.
That is me. So,
sorry, I had to clear my throat there.
I am that person.
Yeah, man. So this brings up a story in my mind. This was before I met all of you guys. This is when I was going through my divorce. And it was tough, man. Like, I was going through like a really hard time, obviously. I mean, who doesn't with divorce? But I had people at work, like supervisors, who just couldn't tell that I was going through anything at all. And, you know, the people that I talked to, like even just like good acquaintances, they could tell. And they're like, hey, man, like, what's going on? But, yeah, it kind of hurt that some of like my leadership couldn't see that. And, you know, you can tell the people who actually care about you and the people who don't, the people who only care about themselves and everything. But then there's also my good friends at the time who they gave me some good advice, and they sat me down and had some tough conversations with me. You know, they were there were some things about my marriage that were out of my control. And then it wasn't until they actually started talking to me about, you know, hey, what did you do? Or have you reflected on your actions over the past year or two? And, you know, I realized it took me a little while to realize, especially, especially with, no, it's, there's some things that I don't want to say on here, you know, but yeah. If someone hurts you really bad, it's hard to realize that, hey, you had a part in that. And it wasn't until my friend sat me down that I realized, hey, you know what? I could have done this better. I could have been a better husband in this way. And it took me like a year or two to realize that and actually reflect on that. But without my real friends, like giving me, sitting me down and having that real talk with me, that real conversation, I wouldn't have realized that. And at the time I was pissed. I was like,
right, because
you guys know what happened. They know the details and everything.
So you're sitting here thinking like they're putting the blame on you and like you're not really understanding.
Yeah.
They're like, well, it's not your fault. However, these are factors that contributed to the result.
They're just giving you tough love.
Yeah, and it's what I needed. And sometimes you don't realize that until months, maybe even years later. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've talked about Brit Chris a lot this podcast.
He's on your mind.
He's on my mind, dude. He's such a good guy. He was that for me.
Take breaks and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was that guy for me. You know, when I screwed up my relationship, he said, mate, it's 100% your fault. I've got no sympathy for you. And I was like, you're a dick, but I know, man. I know it's my fault. Like, nothing I could do. Like, so yeah, so he was just that, you know, he was that tough love that I needed. And not necessarily like, he didn't help. He didn't fix the issues at hand. But yeah, he made the decision very clear on what I had to do. And I had to, you know, just be honest. Like, you know, he said, if you can lie and bury it, you're a dickhead. Don't let it happen again. Yeah, but I mean, if you can do it, and just be the best you can from here out. And that's not what I wanted to hear. That's what I thought I wanted to hear. But what he really told me was, I know you. You're not gonna be able to handle this. You need to fess up, and you need to just be honest with yourself and her. And it's gonna suck, but you did it to yourself. And I needed that because all my good friends were telling me, you know, like just bury it. But he was like, you're not gonna be able to because I know you. And that's when you know you're really good friends, is like when they know you and how you're going to react and how you respond to things. It's very important that you have that person in your life to give you that tough love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not there to make you feel good. They're there to let you grow as a person and just be there for you as a friend.
Right. They're helping you through life. And it was funny because we were talking about on our phone call, we were talking about how when he came over here, being that 10 years older than us, he was looking to our generation as like, help me rejuvenate myself. Like, I want to go out and have fun, like go drinking. Like, we got in so many shenanigans and it was awesome. And I was looking up to him, like, help me mature, help me figure out where to go in life. And reality was, on the phone call, we decided we're both lost. We're both still going to be lost, but it's about finding content in where you are. And that's not necessarily has anything to do with like having a good friend, but having that conversation with someone that is your good friend, like I did with him, is it's important. You know, you realize a lot of life lessons, a lot of lessons learned, if I do dare to say.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of friends who, you know, who you like, some of your best friends when you're younger, who you just go separate ways. You know, I mean, you're both good, like good people, you get along and everything, but you just have different passions. And with me, you know, I hung out with a lot of different people because I wasn't really a jock. I wasn't really a nerd. I wasn't in one specific category. I was just kind of like floating around until like my junior, senior year of high school. So, I mean, there were a lot of people who I hung out with who I had like very fond memories with in my childhood who I don't really talk to anymore. It's just because we went separate ways.
And there's definitely those people that like you thought you were good friends with and you fizzle out. And then you try to reach out and there's no reciprocation.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, well, all right, I'll just cut you out of my life. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you're gonna experience those people. You're gonna think you have good friends and they might backstab you. or they might, I don't know, they might just not be there for you when you need it. And that hits home. And then you realize, like, well, I don't need people like that in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about finding the people who are 100% there for you no matter what.
And you got to do your best to, you know, find who those people are, the ones that don't reciprocate the emotion, and try to your best to cut them out of your life. Not necessarily, like, you know, if they're bad people, then cut them out. But when you're putting forth so much effort to be a friend, or even more sometimes, and they don't do that same back for you, then definitely kind of put them on the back burner.
I would say even before you do that, be that good friend that Chris was to me and have that tough conversation with them. Just be honest. Yeah. Be like, hey,
right,
I notice I'm always asking you to hang out. You know, I'm always asking you how you are. Like, what can I do to help you? Anything. And I notice you don't, you know, reach out to me at all or want to hang out. Like, is there something I did, or is there something we could work on?
And their reaction is going to be your answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Yeah. And Joe, that kind of brings me to the point that I wanted to bring up during this of, like, you know, is this person your friend because they want to be your friend, or is this person your friend because, you know, you have something they want, or you can provide something or a service, or even, you know, you're just like a crutch for them. Are you giving them something they want, or are they friends with you because they want to be friends?
I think it depends on the degree of it, because isn't that kind of friends in general? Like, we're all your friends union. You're providing something for each other. Like,
no, but I mean,
like a friend with a boat. Who's got a boat? Like, we're going to hang out with that guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, the pool kid. And yeah, we're back to that.
Only,
okay.
Yeah, the pool kid.
The pool
kid.
With the money.
They only asked to hang out.
Yeah. So, like, what I mean by that is kind of what the guys were just saying is, are you their friend because they want to be your friend, or, like, you know, do you have something, or are you able to provide something that they want from you? So, again, for instance, we can use the boat example. You know, everybody has that friend with a boat, and it's kind of like quote-unquote friend, because it's like, are they really your friend, or is it a free boat ride? You know, once in a while, go out on the lake.
I don't have a friend with a boat.
Yeah, me neither. As you said, everybody.
me neither, actually.
Yeah, but okay. So how do you handle that? You basically go back to the conversation that Chris just brought up. You know, have that tough conversation with
them. Well, the way I see it is there's that, but then there's also, like, you know, all right, if this is what I bring to the friendship, then what do you bring to the friendship?
A plane.
I'm on a boat, motherfucker.
Nice.
No, but in all seriousness, though, like, you know, like, I'll use my business for an example. You know, I have people who I was good friends with, you know, like, a while ago, and then they reach out to you, and, like, it starts off as a conversation. It's like, hey, what's up? How you been? Blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, it's like, hey, so can you make me this? And it's like,
for free?
Oh. Well, yeah. It's like, but not even for free. Like, even if they are willing to pay for it, at the same time, it's like, if you wanted something, like, if you wanted me to make you something, then why wasn't your first message just, like, you know, hey, I saw you're doing woodwork. Can you make me this?
Right.
Like, why was it this whole thing of, like, you know, oh, what's going on? How you been? What have you been up to? Oh, can you make me this?
Yeah, well, why are they trying to dodge the question?
Well, yeah, it's like, why are you almost, like, trying to pretend to be my friend here and then ask me to do something for you?
That depends. So,
like, I don't know. Let me just say, that's one thing, I don't know, it bothers me a little bit, is, like, when somebody doesn't reach out to you for a long time, you don't hear from them, or, like, when you message them, they don't answer you. And then they message you and they, like, play this little game of, like, you know, hey, what's going on? And then they ask you to do something for them. And it's like, all right, well, are we having this conversation because you actually want to reach out and talk to me? Or are you having this conversation because you want me to do something for you?
Well, so it depends. I think if there is malicious intent there, then, yeah, that's certainly a red flag. But if they really actually just want to, like, have you make something for them and they're willing to pay, maybe they just saw a picture of your woodworking pop up on their news feed or something, and they're like, oh, hey, let me talk
that's
to Randy
fine,
and say,
like,
what's
and I get
up
that.
And stuff, and then ask him.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, just, like, if it's somebody that you haven't really been in contact with in a long time, then why play this whole game of, like, you know, like, you actually give a shit what's going on in my life? Just ask me to make
some people just might not want to be Yeah, some people might just not want to be rude, and like, you know, some people would find it rude to me, like, you know, thinking what you're thinking and say, I don't want to be this person to just say, hey, I see you're doing woodworking, make me something.
Well, I think like the point Randy's trying to make is maybe his woodworking is a bad example because it is a business, but like, imagine someone has an animal and you haven't talked to, they're deploying or they're going on vacation or something. They haven't talked to someone else for a very long time. And they just be like, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Can you wash my dog for like a week? Like, that's more of like what Randy's trying to get at is like,
yeah,
they want you to do something for them, even though they're not going to be there for you when you need it.
Mm. Right. That's a very good example.
I think it's really hard because sometimes that just happens. Like, I mean, Jared, I never talked to Jared until like he asked me to watch Lola. Like, Jared and I, we never really hung out or anything. Like, I didn't know you too much. Like, I saw you every once in a while.
Well,
I
mean, Jared's also a dick, so.
What? Oh!
Just kidding.
Yeah. But it's like,
Jared's getting high-roaded this episode.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't take that as like, oh, he's just trying to take advantage of this. It's like, I don't know. I think it's really hard to tell because even with Randy's woodworking.
Can you stop nitpicking my examples? You know Jared's a good guy, dude. Like, so obviously you're going to watch his dog. You've worked alongside of him, even though you haven't really talked to him. It's just an example.
So, okay, yeah. I get what you're saying, and I think all of us do, but right now we're getting into some gray area, and some of it, I think we all understand what you're saying, you know? I don't think we need to go into it further. I think we're getting into a lot of gray
Yeah, well, like, last thing I want to say on this, the kind of the final point I want to make about it is, like, I don't know, and maybe it's just my personality and how I am, but, like, if I want something from somebody, I just bring that forward first and foremost. Like, I don't play this whole game with them and be like, you know, oh, what's going on? Blah, blah. I'm like, hey, I saw you did this. Can you do it for me? Boom, done.
Boom, roasted.
Yeah.
I do think it could be both, though.
I don't think that's that hard.
I do think they could genuinely want to talk to you, ask you how you're doing, but like, still, like, yeah, but like, they still want to ask you to make something like as a business. I think they could do both. Yeah. I think it just depends. Like, and you'd have to read that as the person. It's like, are they talking to me? Do they actually just want to know how I'm doing and they want this, or is it just they're trying to dodge the question and try and act nice?
I think it'll
easily be able to tell.
Yeah.
And right. I definitely have people in my life too that I'm like skeptical about. Like, I have people that reach out. I'll get a text from you know, certain person. You know, Joe. You know, John Doe. I'll get a text from John Doe, and they'll be like, hey, what's up? And I'll be like, oh, this motherfucker. And I will hesitate before I even answer them because I'm like, I know they're going to fucking ask me for something. Like, they don't want to fucking talk to me.
Yeah.
But again, that's circumstantial too.
Right.
Like, that's somebody that I know is going to be like, you know, trying to pull some bullshit. And it's like, all right, I don't want to deal with your shit, so I'm probably not going to answer you. But
yeah. And I mean, that comes back to the same conversation, you know, just have that hard conversation, be like, hey, I'm doing this with my life. I'm trying to better myself as a person, and I know that the people I surround myself with have a huge impact on that, and I don't think that our friendship is healthy for that, for my growth.
Boom.
And you need to have that conversation.
Boom.
Yeah.
That right there is a lesson learned to take with you.
Like, you shouldn't have to deal with people all the time who you say, hey, oh, they're just messaging me because they want something or they don't really care about me. What you need to do is have that hard conversation with them.
And that's something I struggle with. Like, there's a bunch of people I could have that conversation with, but I feel uncomfortable doing that, so I don't.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that I've definitely gotten better at over the years where it's like, you know, after a certain amount of time, it's kind of like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And it's like, wow, I almost did that backwards.
You got it.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, once it's happened so many times, then it's like, all right, you know, I don't need your bullshit anymore. And I've gotten good at, like, just kind of letting those people, just like, not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily say cutting them out of my life, but kind of just letting them go.
Yeah, I'm finding myself in that situation.
Like, I don't make, like, a conscious effort to kind of be like, you know, hey, you know what, like, every time you ask me about something, it's for your kind of personal gain, fuck you. But like, when I start to see that happening, then I'm just like, all right, you know what, I'm just gonna stop answering you. I'm gonna stop reaching out.
Yeah,
so I just kind of like let it go.
If you could see a pattern of actions, you know, it's you'll be able to tell. And then it is, yeah. I mean, even like before letting it go, it is worth having that tough conversation. That's something I'm going to do. You know, like the people that I need to have that conversation with, I'm going to take a lesson from today's podcast and apply that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that too. Maybe that's good. Chris, speaking I'll call you after we're done.
Speaking of reaching out real quick, do you guys like when people invite you out to something even though they know you're probably not going to come out? I feel like
100%,
that's
100%, dude.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to give a shout out right now to Jimmy Perez. You know, he's stationed here with me. We're from almost the same hometown back home. And last week he invited me out. He said, hey, I know you're probably, it's probably going to be a no for you, but we're going to go out drinking if you want to come out. I was like, hey, man, I really appreciate the invite, but yeah, I'll probably just hang back. Did the same thing today. Oh. He said, hey, this weekend we're going to go out. Do you want to come out? I know you probably say no, but figured I'd invite you. That means a lot, man.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
It lets you know they're thinking of you.
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, Chris, you do that all the time. Like, you'll send out messages like, yo, getting coffee. It's just like, I don't know, you don't like to get coffee. It was like, I'll send the message. Like, why the hell not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even like sometimes, maybe, sometimes I'll even just like just go with you, even if I don't get coffee or whatever. It's just like it still gives me the option.
Yeah, it can make.
Chris is such a good guy like that. He asked me if I want to play games all the time, and he knows I don't even have a console.
Such a great guy. So yeah, so today we talked about a lot of stuff and how to really find your good friends. I mean, it'll be evident to you, like who's there, who sends you that message, even if you don't talk for a few weeks. Who sends like, hey man, how you doing? And then it's about having those very tough conversations that I think each one of us and almost all of the listeners, I'm sure every single person has that friend that's not a good influence. And we need to have that tough conversation with and be like, hey, how can we A, either fix it or B, like, I think, you know, we should kind of stop hanging out. Like, I'm trying to surround myself with better people and better my life. And those are the two biggest lessons out of this episode is your good friends and your bad friends, how to find the good ones and how to maybe eliminate the bad ones. And we'll talk about toxic friendships in a future episode, but for today, that's pretty much it.
All right, guys, this has been Lessons Learned. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and go follow our other social media pages linked in the description. From all of us here at Lessons Learned, have a good day and
see ya.